Welcome to the Pork and Pale Ale Radio Show. This is Neil. Here we are at 107.1 LP Pasco, 103.7 on your FM radio dial. And Nate sitting in with us also again today. I'm not sure which one was two. Is it your stuff? Is it your electronics or mine buzzing all the mics? I can't really tell. Tell anymore.
Probably the damn iPad.
Yeah, I don't know. We're all over the place, let's be honest. I think that one. Hold on. Yep, no feedback from that one. Well, good, everybody. Welcome this week's show. We have a lot going on. We got a bill that's being introduced, or got introduced last week in the Tennessee House of Legislature about some pretty interesting beer legislation that I'm not going to take a stance one side or the other because that's not what the show's all about for the most part. But I do have four of my really good friends that are, there's some really interesting things going on legislative-wise and all the states kind of neighboring us at this point. The first hour, we're going to have Austin Ray, really good food and beverage writer down in Atlanta, calling in, kind of giving us an update of what's going on with some big legislation they have going on in Georgia. After that, we're going to have Craig Hendry call in from Mississippi, from Raise Your Pints. Craig is one of the founders of Raise Your Pints down there that has done a lot over the last 5-6 years to get alcohol limits raised, to be able to get some really good legislation that's really kind of sparked a big boom in Mississippi. Then the second hour, we got Phil Derner calling in from Bluegrass Brewing Company. Phil's also a very, very active person in the Kentucky Brewers Guild and everything that's going on there. They have some very interesting legislation that's already made its way through the House and Senate. I think right now it's on the Senate floor. And then last but not least, we have Dan Roberts, who's going to be calling in from the great state of Alabama. I was just down there over the weekend for a Southern Foodways conference and met a lot of really good folks. But Dan's going to be calling in and updating us about some really interesting stuff. The dynamic of the beer business these days is pretty interesting. I mean, to say the least, just as much stuff's going on, you know, with the popularity of craft breweries and everything. Everybody's starting to really look around and notice that some of the laws and some of the, a good bit of them are really kind of antiquated in the states, and especially as a state-by-state level. And it's some of the topics we're going to talk about today are the different states. It's pretty interesting, the different battles that are going on between distributors, between smaller breweries, between the big guys, Bud Miller and Coors, between the liquor lobbies, between the liquor store lobbies, between all the different stuff that's going on with that. So we're going to talk about all that with, like I said, with representatives from calling in from Georgia, Mississippi, Kentucky, and Alabama. With the bill that just recently got submitted in Tennessee, it's called Three Tiers for Tennessee. You can hop on their page and figure out all that's going on there. I'm not promoting it. I'm just saying I just noticed it pop up on Twitter last week, and I don't know if we'll have I don't know if we'll actually reach out and get anyone in here from the Bud Miller Coors lobby that's trying to defeat it, or the group trying to push for it, or the Craft Brewers Guild or any of that. I mean, if we do, if that opportunity comes up, I wouldn't mind it at all, but I would like to have everybody have equal time to come in and sit down and kind of... Yeah, let me see if I get your mic on. Go ahead, Nate.
Get all the sides of the story.
Yeah, to get all the sides of the story from everybody, and you know, to really, to everybody just at least have a platform. I mean, it's one of those things where I'm a big fan of whatever anybody's opinion and stuff is. You know, we can go from there, and just for them to have opportunity to kind of get whatever they want out there. Does that sound weird in your earphones?
Yeah, it seems a little echoey.
I know. I don't know what's going on. Let me see if mine's on. Maybe I just need to get closer to the mic.
Yeah, no, I think I was a little too close at the beginning.
Yeah, that's just the way it is. We're still trying to figure it out, folks. But do you say you and Jessica went down and spent a lot of money on a few drinks down at the downtown?
Yeah.
Anybody start to see a pattern of what Nate and his wife do every weekend? So if anybody's got a hit out against Nate, you know where to find him. Corner 5th and Broadway.
Yeah.
Most Friday, Saturday night.
Somewhere down. Yeah, we on a whim went down and seen the Maroon 5 concert.
So. That's a funny thing you did on a whim.
Yeah, it is.
I got pancakes with peanut butter on them this morning per our Facebook page, if anybody wants to see how delicious those were.
One up much?
Yeah, I did that on a whim. I didn't eat all of them. I left half of the last
can't,
two.
Dude. It's like eating a whole birthday cake, dude. Like, it's hard to eat like a stack of pancakes. When you go to IHOP or something like that and you get like an omelet and like, you want some pancakes on the side? I'm like, what?
Yeah, like, do I?
I'll take one.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's a funny thing about it, man. It's the restaurant trying to think where it was, the Pancake House, their menu in Birmingham, Alabama said the most copied menu alive or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I guess, I don't know. But their omelet, I got the hash omelet this morning. It was pretty good.
I love corned beef and hash omelet.
Yeah, if you live in the state of Washington, Alaska, District of Columbia, or Colorado, the definition of a hash omelet for you may be a little bit different. So each is old. But yeah, it was good, man. They had their own house-made hash, and pancakes were really good. But I've never seen this. They actually had the little peanut butter chocolate chips.
So when you say hash, are you just talking about potatoes?
It's the corned beef hash.
Yeah.
It's corned beef and potatoes and stuff.
Yeah.
Hers was all right, but it did. I was a little suspect because it said it was homemade hash, but they had a Hormel logo on the menu, which seemed a bit suspect. I figured it'd be one of those things that was kind of implied, but
somebody lives at the plant.
Yeah. Went down to Birmingham this weekend for the Southern Foodways Media South Conference. I think it's the first time I've ever done it. It was really interesting. I don't think I can do conferences anymore. I tried. I just can't. Just the whole setting in a room. It's just like, I don't like doing meetings to start with, so therefore I don't like to do meetings. I mean, big meetings, just because nothing ever comes out of it. And I don't know. I guess I always call into question the people that are up on in front of the group talking to everybody else, whether they should even be there or not.
Yeah.
It's like you did some stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong. There was a really good writer there yesterday that written a lot of stuff for ESPN. She recently wrote article. Did you see the clip, the 14-second clip from Ronda Rousey's fight last night?
No, I've been meaning to like look at it. I haven't clicked on it yet.
Where her opponent, who she was fighting, there's a writer that was there that did a speaking engagement that just got through publishing an article on ESPN about her opponent. And her opponent, like, had a husband that committed suicide and a bunch of stuff like that. Just all this diversity that she had kind of bridged over and stuff over the years. So I saw her after the fight and everything, and I tried to be relatable, but it's a person that she spent a year with, you know, over the last year writing this article about her. To see her lose in 14 seconds was probably a little...
Yeah. It's like, oh, man.
What do you say? Like, how'd the fight go? Yeah, she didn't do so well. I didn't know it was 14 seconds.
Yeah,
you can't really, like, try to salvage a good conversation. Like, well, I mean...
I think Mike Tyson's quickest one was, like, 32.
Yeah.
Like, she, like, did that, like, half and then some.
Well, she went right after Ronda, and then Ronda tied her up on the ground, and then Ronda submitted 8 bajillion people with an arm bar, and she just attacked Tishan at it, and that's what she did. I mean, it was just that quick, man.
Yeah, I was listening to ESPN Radio this week talking about that, and I think Colin Cowherd from ESPN was talking. He was just like, it's just not my thing. Like, I don't want to see girls fight. I don't know. I was always taught it was wrong to hit whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And then I just don't think they need to target men for that. For that part, you know.
You thought that?
He thought that. And I agree with him. It's a little weird watching two girls just beat the, you know, hell out of each other.
What about females? They've had to go their whole lives watching dudes punch each other in the face.
Well, that's fine. That's what I'm saying. That they shouldn't be trying to get me to watch it. They should get other women to want to watch the fight.
How does that even make sense? So there's only half of the Olympics you're ever going to watch because there's women competing in something?
No, it's just the whole fighting aspect of it. Like, it's just watching two chicks.
Yeah.
And then they were thinking about getting Ronda Rousey to, like, kind of do in the men's weight class, and that would just be weird.
It'd be really unfair, just because I got a guy that's 150 and a female that's 150. The bone structure and the setup of a male and a female is two completely different.
Like, that dude loses.
Yeah, but what if he just completely dominates her? Then it's really awkward for everybody.
It's lose-lose.
Yeah, I don't see anything positive coming out of that. But no, I mean, not that I enjoy
watching. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with female MMA. It's just not my thing. Like, It's just not my kind of.
No, I really enjoy MMA. I don't care if it's male or female or whatever.
Yeah. So. I mean, I enjoy, like, the technical aspect of it, but, like, it's just, like, now with, like, all the social media, like, I've seen 3 women fight on Facebook this week.
Oh,
really? You know what I mean? Like, people just poke, like, you know, posting videos or whatever. Like, there was one where somebody's at a red light, and next thing you know, like, these two girls, like, got into it. Next thing, one of them was a big gal.
Nice.
And it's a lot of hair pulling.
Awesome. Like, well, great. We got our first guest calling in. We've got Austin Ray from Atlanta calling in, so... Welcome to the Pork and Pale Radio Show. Who is this?
Hey there, it's Austin in Atlanta.
Hey man, what's going on?
Not too much. How are you guys?
Pretty good. Hey, were you down in Birmingham this weekend?
No, I didn't make it. No.
Okay, I just saw somebody had tagged you in one of the tweets, and I didn't know if you were down there or not. So, yeah, we're talking to our.
My picture was on the big screen. I saw that.
Oh yeah, it was an interesting conference to say the least. Man, appreciate you calling in, especially on short notice today. But as I was talking to my radio partner, Nate, here a minute ago, that it's really interesting. They just introduced a bill here in Tennessee to strengthen, I'm using air quotations here, to strengthen the three-tier system, or pretty much making it illegal to where any of the bigger breweries can buy any distributorship. And I just noticed between you guys and then Mississippi, Alabama, and Kentucky all have some pretty important bills in the legislative process right now. Do you mind filling us in where Georgia's at on all that and what's going on?
Yeah, sure. So we're kind of in a weird position because we're one of only a handful of states in the country where breweries can't sell direct to customers in any form. So whereas, like, you know, when I come to Nashville a couple times a year, I usually go to places like Yazoo and Jackalope and wherever, and, you know, I have a beer and a glass while I'm there, and I take a bottle with me or whatever. You can't do any of that in Georgia.
Yeah. You can't even sell pints, right? It's, they got to pay like a flat rate to get no more than like 36 ounces or something like that.
Right. And it's, what they do is they sell a souvenir glass and they get a free tour. So they can give the beer away, but they can't sell it, which is kind of crazy. And they still pay, they still pay taxes on the free beer, which is also kind of.
Yeah, that is what's weird about that. At any juncture, even in Tennessee, if we donate to anybody that's wanted to submit a charity for a golf tournament or something, even if we donate the beer to you, you're still having to pay taxes, which is even worse in Georgia if they don't, they're not even able to sell anything.
Right, exactly. Like, you can go in and buy all sorts of stuff, like t-shirts and frisbees and things, or koozies, but you can't actually buy the beer.
Yeah. So there's, is the, they introduced, what was the bill they introduced this year, Austin?
So the new bill is Senate Bill 63. They're calling it the Beer Jobs Bill, and it will allow 72 ounces on premise and 144 to go. And so you could, you know, you can drink a few pints there and then take some with you. But, you know, it's not really blowing it wide open. It's just letting them sell a limited amount.
Yeah, and 144 to go is only we're only talking about that's 2.5 growlers or a 12 pack of 12 ounce bottles.
It's not very much. A lot of it is, I mean, you know, a lot of it will be beneficial for tourism. A lot of people show up here and they want to hang out at the brewery and then take them home with them, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, mostly it's, you know, like for me, I'm not going to go, like living in Atlanta, I'm rarely going to go buy from a brewery. I'm going to keep going to the stores that I go to. But once in a while, it'll be fun to be able to bring them home.
Yeah. Have you been to the new the Terrapin brewery lately?
I haven't been there lately. They just did that big remodel and everything. That
awesome. Yeah, I went down there. I was down there in October, man. It looks really good down there. And they have like this zigzag kind of tasting. It's kind of hard. They had the, like the top, the taps coming from the ceiling. Looks really good in there. And like they were talking about that when I was down there. Like, you know, it's like they got to, like, they have to do it like as a tasting. You know, you just can't use it as a bar.
Yeah, it's totally, it's kind of a Byzantine process.
Yeah, so the bill that y'all introduced this year, it raised everything up to 72 ounces on site or 144 to go, which is such a trivial number, but it's politics. Mm-hmm. So what was the progress and steps y'all, that's been going on for how long now, or since it got introduced?
Yeah, so it dropped in late January, and then there was a hearing in late February where both sides, the brewers and the wholesalers, kind of presented their case to the Regulated Industries Committee, where it's sitting right now. And there was supposed to be a vote last week, and that got put off. No one's totally sure why, but people are starting to point fingers at our lieutenant governor for holding it up. And then there's a possible crossover day is March 13th, which is only a couple weeks away. So if we don't get a vote before then, it's dead. We'll have to try again next.
So you've got till the 13th of March to, if there's not a vote by March the 13th, then as far as due process of it getting to the governor's desk and all that, it's just going to be dead on arrival.
Right, because then it needs to get out of the Senate and then go to the House and kind of do the whole thing over again.
So yeah.
Still got a ways to go, but I'm not really sure what's going to happen.
It's so who all is on record for it? Who's against it? Are y'all having a lot of people trying to do the divide and conquer between retailers, wholesalers, and all that? Or where is all the wholesalers against it? Is big breweries against it? I mean, because definitely, I mean, even with all your smaller breweries, I mean, I would hope that all the smaller breweries are for it. But, I mean, have y'all started to see just a few factions break off here and there?
If there are brewers against it, I haven't heard of any. They seem to be a united front, and the wholesalers are the same way. They've got the Georgia Beer Wholesalers Association kind of represent. represents them, and they are the driving force of the opposition.
Yeah, which is interesting because I don't think there's a distributor in Atlanta or in Georgia right now that doesn't have an Atlanta brewery on the, in their house, is there?
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. Like a lot of even one of the ones who testified at the hearing, he was like saying it wasn't going to hurt his business, and it's kind of like, okay, well, why? What are you guys trying to stop for?
Yeah, I mean, it's. I always use this analogy, and for us, and this is just my experience at Yazoo, and I'm not weighing in on Georgia politics by any means. But I mean, for us, we have our number one account for. I mean, pretty much the probably number one liquor and beer account in the state. It was Frugal McDougal's.
Yeah,
and you know, we can sell direct. We're unlimited in what we want to sell: kegs, package, pints, or all that. And we have plenty of bars around us. But I'm pretty confident if the owner of Frugal McDougal's had any issue with, you know, our pricing or the amount of package we were selling at the door, which is a minuscule amount. I mean, like you said, for what we sell at the door, I mean, maybe at most it'd probably be five or some odd cases of any particular beer a week. Whereas, you know, a retailer that's four blocks from us is selling hundreds, you know. I mean, it's so funny, you know, as antiquated the mentality is a lot, you know, we've had little... everybody in Tennessee is just assumed it's always been like that, you know, which that's all we really know. But to see folks, it's just like one state away, like you guys, even to where Georgia craft beer is at right now, don't you think the state could still sustain, you know, two and three times the amount of breweries that y'all have right now?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've only got about 40 in the state, which is nothing compared to a lot of states nearby. And the thing is, if by loosening this up, what's going to happen is there's going to be a ton of small breweries. Like, nano breweries aren't really a feasible option in Georgia right now because you can't sell direct, and they need to get to a point where they need a distributor.
Yeah.
But if this passes, I mean, we're going to have tons and tons of small breweries open up doing weird things, and they're going to find success on their own terms and then eventually get with distributors, and it's going to help everybody out.
Yeah, and I think I'm just coming from a point of... being in the beer business, craft beer world for 15 years. But for me, I just see it as, in all honesty, even coming from a distributor side, I see it as a way that takes a lot of the weight off of the distributors having to, you know, bring a brand in that they have to sign to get to market that is only doing a very minuscule amount of beer and everything.
And that's not really self-proven yet. You know, if you can self-distribute, you can go ahead and get your product out there, and it would just help. The distributor.
Yeah, just a little bit by the numbers, everybody. The state of Georgia in the United States per 2012 census that I'm looking at right now is number 8 in population in the United States. They're the largest population of any southern state. So they're at 9.9 million people for the state, and they have 40 breweries. The state of Tennessee, we're a little over 30 right now breweries, and we're sitting at 6.4 million populations of state. A little bit closer by the numbers, Georgia's number 8 in population, and they're sitting at 40. Right below them is number 9, and that's Michigan. Michigan is sitting at 103 breweries. And right. If you take the amount of people that employs as far as, you know, how many the jobs, good quality jobs, and, you know, the contribution for all those breweries is significant. For Georgia to have 100 breweries sitting right now would be immense. As far as, like you said, the jobs created part of it, so.
Right. And not to mention, there, you look at it like the big guys who are moving east now. You know, Sierra Nevada, Lagunitas, Stone, Oscar Blues, all those guys, they don't even think about Georgia because why would they? You know, they're so used to having great laws where they're from, and they're not going to move their business here. They're not going to bring 1,000 jobs, that kind of thing.
Yeah, which is amazing when you look at all the money that a lot of the, as far as politicians, cities, states, that they throw at if a big company, you know, and if you were to say, just say 100 breweries adding 10 employees, you know, throughout the state within the first year, we're going to look at 1,000 new jobs in the state of Georgia. If there was an entity, let's just say a bread manufacturer or a tire manufacturer that wanted to move to Georgia and add 1,000 new jobs, can you imagine how much the state would be tripping over themselves to land that business?
Oh, absolutely.
Whereas you have that opportunity right in your backyard. I mean, like I said, this is my personal opinion. I'm not representing anybody other than just myself and the radio show. But it's just, I can't understand. I mean, I get the opposition because people are very resistant to change. But overall, as far as you look at the statistical numbers and talking about free commerce, I mean, it's the fact that I didn't even know that y'all had put a a volume limit on consumers. I mean, as far as like going in the breweries and picking up beer, I mean, 12 pack per person. That's nothing, right. You know.
Right, and that, I mean, that's just a proposed bill. I mean, they're trying to get compromise on that. People are trying to bring it down.
So. Yeah. We're talking to Austin Ray, really good food and beverage writer down in Atlanta that does a lot of advocacy and stuff on behalf of Georgia craft brewers and a lot of different stuff like that. But I mean, just kind of getting this update on, you know, the bill and everything. So, I mean, what was y'all's, have y'all already been to the first committee and everything? Was there already been a committee vote?
There's been no vote so far. It's just sitting in regulated industries. And we're kind of, the word is that our lieutenant governor, Casey Cagle, is the one who is holding up the vote. And it's interesting because when you look at his campaign contributions, he got more than $100,000 from wholesalers in just the last year. So it kind of, it's a little bit damning when you see the numbers compared to what's happening.
Yeah, it would be interesting to go back and see how much money he's gotten from wholesalers in the last 5 years combined, or whether it's just they were expecting this to come up this year and really got behind him, you know, strategically. I mean, because, I mean, like I said, I'm not playing good cop, bad cop, but I mean, wholesalers have, you know, done a great job with upholding their slice of the pie and, you know, the money that they've had invested in into it and everything. And, you know, I'm not just talking about Georgia, I'm talking about all states. I mean, we have, you know, as far as our relationships here in Tennessee and, you know, as any specific industry, I mean, that's what they've done. And they've done a great job of that to this point, you know. So, you know, I mean, that's just funny how that goes, whether, you know, it's whether it's someone that's been, you know, been supporting him for years or vice versa. If that's the case, you know, it's always funny how it can come down to one person, you know, is the difference right. For a whole industry, whole segment of industry. Yeah. That's, I mean, of Georgia folks, you know, I mean, don't y'all have a massive AB facility in Georgia?
Yeah, we've got a big plant up in Cartersville.
How many employees do they employ?
That's a good question. I'm not totally sure.
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting that if, you know, the situation were the same, that if they were thinking about importing one of their top 8 breweries in the United States, you know, and putting it in Georgia. However, what was the politics you think went on to get that place in Cartersville, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And again, then again, you know, Anheuser-Busch is a big contributor to Kegel as well. So it's like,
yeah.
You kind of see the numbers and makes you wonder.
Yeah, it's an interesting time right now, you know. I'm really excited to see, you know, Georgia craft brewers. I know there was a lot of momentum when y'all got your alcohol limit raised, you know, a few years ago. And then now, I think this is the first, I mean, last year y'all started laying out, getting some really good momentum as far as legislative stuff. But, I mean, this year's that everybody seem a lot more active and unified pointing that direction?
Yeah, it definitely feels like people are taking notice. There's a lot of kind of grassroots campaigning, and the guild's really gotten, like, get back together, and I don't know, it feels like it's going somewhere, but we got to get a vote in the Senate first, so.
Yeah. Well, great, man. You had any new really good beers lately? What am I missing in Georgia that I can't get here?
Let's see. I had the, what is it called? It's the coffee stout from Coastal Empire in Savannah. Actually, I had that at brunch today.
Oh, nice.
It was delicious, though.
What's the What's the alcohol limit on that?
The limit in Georgia?
No, on the beer you had.
What's the ABV on that one?
Oh, it was 12%, I think.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Good brunch, man.
Kind of a beast.
No kidding. Anything else you're drinking these days?
I think off the top of my head, Creature Comforts in Athens is making some really great stuff.
I've heard a lot about those guys recently. Too.
Yeah, they're awesome. If you get a chance to go to Athens, that's the place to go visit right now.
Well, good times, man. We got May the 3rd is our Embrace the Funk Fest. If you want to make it up, let me know.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Love to have you. We're getting a big top tent for the parking lot and a lot of other stuff that I can't advertise right now. But the chances are pretty good. We may or may not have a pirate riding in on the back of a monster truck that's going to saber off the top of a bottle to start the event. But, so I'm working on details of that right now. So,
you know, as you do.
Yeah, no kidding. Austin, how can where's the quickest place for everybody to be able to read your stuff? Austin's a great writer and has a lot going on. What's the best place for everybody to be able to see your stuff and get a hold of you on Twitter and your website and everything?
Yeah. You can either go to the Creative Listening website, or you can go look at my Twitter. It's just at Austin Lewis Ray.
Okay.
I have my website there and everything.
That's at Austin Lewis Ray. And is it just Georgia Brewers Guild for all the legislative information and stuff?
Yeah, actually, if you go to gabeerjobs.com, that has all the info about the bill.
Okay, great, man. Thank you again for calling in, brother, and I hope you have a good rest of your Sunday.
Yeah, this was fun. Thanks for having me.
All right, talk to you later. Yeah, that's our buddy Austin, man. Like I said, I'm gonna. Yeah, everybody listening right now, it's our good friend Austin from Atlanta just called in. So, yeah, going forward, I mean, it's gonna be interesting. Just the different dynamic from all the different states, and all these states I've spent a decent amount of time in, and I'm very familiar with all the folks and a lot that's going on there. And like I said, I'm not. I'll be honest. I'm not trying to rain judgment on this. It's the same way that if any of the opposition, it's the same way that with the platform that is the radio show, if anybody else affiliated with any of these groups or any of these bills and stuff wanted to come on and speak on the radio, I would so let them. I mean, I'm not opposed to anybody coming on and wanting to speak about their side. If AB lobbyist wants to come in and sit down and talk about it, in the same way we do with everybody else, I'm all about it. Actually, legal FCC rules is if anybody, same way if I have a mayoral candidate on and somebody else wants to come on our show.
It's equal time.
Yeah, we have to give equal time for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I'm not opposed to talking to anybody because, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, other than just the sake of somebody throwing money at something, there's different industries that have a lot of money invested in stuff, you know, and just because that's what they've been doing for years and years and years. And why would you not keep doing it if it's been working for you for 60 years, you know, and that's when a lot of the distributors, a lot of the big brewers and stuff. And I mean, in 1980 in America, there were 44 breweries. Today, at the end of right now, there's over 4,000. So there's the big movement of folks that just haven't been happy the way things are that are trying to move the needle. And that's kind of where we're at with everything. So that's why I kind of can say we're right in the middle of a legislative session with most states. And that's why I kind of wanted to have everybody on and just kind of talk about what they had going on and what's in front of them and the different challenges and stuff like that. So not trying to get too beer geeky or anything. We'll get back to Hot Pockets later.
Well, yeah,
on, so.
I mean, it's just part of the beast. I mean,
yeah,
nothing happens, you know, overnight.
Yeah,
you know, things like, and there's always going to be situations that need to be changed.
Yeah,
and there's probably less stuff that doesn't need to be changed than stuff that needs to be changed, and it needs to you know, just for, you know, free commerce.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, as you should be able to build and make a product and sell it yourself.
Yeah,
bottom line.
Yeah, and it's so funny. There's so many other industries that aren't like that. You know. Mm-hmm. I mean, the egg guys don't have to, like, their chickens don't have to lay eggs, and they have to sell it to a third party legally, you know?
Yeah, I know. Like, you drive through Franklin, so I think, like, when you go towards, like, 840 or whatever, there's, like, I've seen this, like, in several different places where somebody would be like, you know, free eggs, or just the eggs, just put money in the thing and grab you some eggs. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that dude just gets to give away his eggs on, like, donation. Like,
yeah.
Even if you could do it that way for beer, it would be a step up.
Yeah.
Like, here's some beer. If you want us to pay for it, sweet. You know, we would just, please just try our product.
Yeah.
You know, it's not so they can make $1 billion. It's just so they can let people try their product and then not lose money on it the whole time.
Yeah, especially with especially with Georgia. That's something in Tennessee we're very fortunate, and people don't realize how fortunate we are in Tennessee. You can actually in the state of Tennessee self distribute within the county in which you produce,
mm-hmm.
As long as you want. I mean, and that no other very few other states, no other state around us can you self-distribute any at all, for the most part. And Tennessee is very unique with that. And Tennessee, we're very unique that other breweries can come into the state without being with a distributor and participate in a charity event or a beer festival. There isn't very many other states you can do that either. Between those two things, and then what else? Oh, the fact that our breweries here, if they're even with distribution, they can still sell cases of beer or kegs out the door. I mean, I think, you know, then each and every state everybody we're talking to today is, you know, working on, you know, one fundamental of having the opportunity to do what we're doing in Tennessee. But with that, I mean, don't get me wrong. With that said, we're still the highest beer tax in the nation.
Yeah. I mean, it's like nowhere's perfect. Nowhere's going to be perfect, but it can always be better.
Yeah. And I mean, we're right now in Tennessee, we're still 20% higher than number two, which is Alaska. Enjoy yourself, Alaska. You know, and it's just, you know, that's just one of those ones where it should be interesting going forward. I'm kind of looking forward to see, you know, we're hoping that everything's going to stabilize out here in the next 4 or 5 years. But who knows, man? You know, I mean, that's just the price of goods and stuff as it goes up and all that. So, but yeah, what else was I going to say? Oh, but yeah, that's why today, like I said, everybody's got a lot of stuff going on. And that's kind of the whole point of this show, is to kind of raise awareness and platform with a lot of those. lot of folks around us that have a lot of stuff going on. And like I said, I've spent a good bit of time with all our neighboring states. And I mean, next week, I actually went ahead and booked our guest for next week. I have a really good local writer, food writer, Jennifer Justice, is going to join us. And the editor for Nashville Lifestyles, Aaron, is going to be joining us also. And then one I've been working on, the guy for about 6 months now to finally get him on the show, is on March the 8th, we have Jeremy Barlow coming in, which Jeremy is a... he used to own Taste Restaurant over in Hillsborough Village.
Okay.
And he's literally written the book on farm-to-table stuff and everything else that's going on, you know, between, you know, sourcing all your food and making it sustainable for a restaurant, so on and so forth. And he also owns Slow Coast Sammy's Sandwich Place over in 12 South, and he has one in the Farmer's Market, too. So, you know, he's got a new spot opening up and everything. So we got him coming in on March the 8th. So, but yeah, man. So Maroon 5 was good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was, like I said, I didn't realize how many we were talking before the show. Like,
did
how,
you sing along?
I tried.
All right.
And some of the stuff I didn't even know I knew the song.
Oh, really?
Like, it's just like a top 40 thing that you hear on accident to all
just
the
keep
time.
Going, oh, God, I love this song.
Yeah, I know. Lost my shirt.
Yeah, how much, do they have anybody opening up for them?
Yeah, Magic.
Who's Magic?
Like Magic Why You Gotta Johnson? Be So Rude.
What?
You don't know that song, the Rude song?
No.
You kidding me?
I thought you were going to sing the Florida Georgia Line cruise song. That's what it sounded like.
Did it really?
Yeah.
No.
And cruise. Oh, well. The same way. The
I sell beer, song. Brother. I don't sing.
Yeah. Here in just a minute, we got, should be calling any minute now, is we have Craig Hendry from Raise Your Pints. Mississippi, Craig, and a handful of other really good folks down in Mississippi started that group about 7 or 8 years ago, and they've really been able to move the needle in Mississippi. I think Mississippi, Craig would tell us a little bit more once we get him on the phone, but I think they're bordering like 20 breweries for the longest time. They only were sitting at one with Lazy Magnolia, which are really good folks. I think actually March 6th is Lazy Magnolia's, this coming Friday or Saturday, is Lazy Magnolia's 10th anniversary party, which 10 years of beer in Mississippi is... I'm sure they've seen some things over the years for the most part, but since you know Craig and the folks down in Mississippi are able to move their needle on their beer laws with raising the limit and a few other things, I know that right now they have some other things in front of them they're looking to change. Craig is with Raise Your Pints, and then the Mississippi now has their Craft Brewers Guild also with, I'm not sure who the president of that one is, but if they wanted to call in and get him on the show, we're wide open. But I was just on the way back and was thinking, you know, the folks we could get on to kind of talk about what was going on. Craig's usually pretty good about getting out there and doing stuff like that. So, like I said, in the second hour, we got Phil Derner from Bluegrass Brewing is going to be coming in, calling in and talking what they have going on in Kentucky, and the same way with Dan Roberts from Alabama about, I know they have a couple of bills going on right now also. So, but what are you and Jessica doing later?
I've got to go to a dinner for some, like going away party for some friends.
That sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
You're going to do the surprise thing?
I'm not sure exactly if it's a surprise or not.
Really?
I don't know.
What are all these cars in the parking lot? The ones that look familiar?
Yeah, it's at my sister-in-law's old restaurant. Oh, okay. Finesa.
Nice. My grandmother is 93. And they still persist on wanting to have her surprise birthday party. I'm like, I think she's down for it right now.
Yeah, I think they're all a surprise at this point.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Good point, man. Well, at this point, you know, it's just like, you know, what do you, I mean, I thought it was kind of, I'm like, all right, she gets it now. But it's smart, though. They do it because they do it now as a surprise because they don't want her to cook or anything because mm-hmm. she would like cook yeah. for her own party yeah. and everything. So this year they actually had somebody cater in the food and they got some of my younger cousins and stuff to actually serve everybody and stuff. This old schoolhouse where we have all the events and stuff for the family. Well, we used to do this overlooking place, but you know, that's what we're doing now. So just a part of it. It's weird.
93.
You know? Yeah. As much as I've been in the beer business, we've never had an event on that side of the family. There's been alcohol involved.
Oh really?
Yeah. I'm taking people home. They're like, oh, but y'all drink a lot. And I'm like, no one does.
Oh really?
They do. I have a couple uncles that may drink here and there, but that's about it. Nobody, hardly anybody in my mom's side of the family drinks.
I had an aunt in from Minnesota. And so my dad's sister. And so me and my little brother and my older brother met up at City Cafe over off Spence. And I'll finish the story later.
All right, that's cool. We got Craig Hendry calling in right now. Pork and Pale Ale. Is this Craig?
Hey, this is Craig.
Hey, man, what do you got going on?
Just hanging out.
You brewing today?
Some beer. Well, I didn't brew, but I did keg some beer.
Oh, good times, man. So we just got off the phone with, you know, Austin Ray down in Atlanta, food and beverage writer?
I don't.
Austin Lewis Ray on Twitter. We just got the phone with him, kind of getting an update on what's going on their way. They have their Georgia beer jobs bill that's just made it through committee and everything. And I was just, that's why I wanted to, you know, get you to call in and see where, you know, what's going on in Mississippi right now. I know that I think between Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Kentucky, and then Tennessee, we've just got a couple bills dropped in the House of the legislative house that that pertains to craft breweries and just beer in general. I just wanted to call and see what y'all had going on in Mississippi. I know over the last few years y'all have had a lot of wheels spinning. I just want to see with this legislative session, you know, if y'all are working on anything or, you know, what all, what kind of going on with what all is going on in Mississippi. Y'all are up to about 20 breweries now, right?
Well, 10 right now that are either full production or are having their beers contract brewed to other breweries, and two more that should have beers flowing, I would think, by the end of the year, and three more that are heavily rumored to open very soon.
That's good, man. Y'all working on anything legislative wise or anything? You know, I know the guild, the Mississippi Guild just got up and running the last few years, but I mean, as far as Raise Your Pints, y'all are still staying pretty active as far as events and being out there and everything. I just didn't know if y'all had your sights set on anything since, of course, Raising the Limit and a couple other things that y'all have been able to get up and running in the last couple of years.
Well, Raise Your Pints is we're kind of in an education mode right now, and also I am a board member of the Brewers Guild, so I can somewhat speak for those guys too. This year is an election year, so it was pretty obvious and Raise Your Pints. We learned that 4 years ago that, you know, nothing's going to get done in an election year. And it's just any kind of a controversial bill, it's not going to get touched immediately before an election. So it's kind of like they just get in there and, you know, get the session over with and get to campaigning and, you know, hopefully get reelected. That's what they're focused on. So, you know, we learned a while back, don't even bother trying to do anything during election year.
Yeah.
That was that year, so.
Yeah, that's a tough one, man. We're in the middle of, as far as, like, a few big ones. In Nashville, the big one right now is mayoral race for this year. So this whole next year is something we're going to be, you know, ramping up to, but didn't have that big of repercussions. As far as the guild and everything that's going on, Craig, I mean, what's kind of priority of what, you know, y'all are looking at, you know, going forward, you know, in the coming years of y'all? I mean, as far as, you know, making it a little bit more progressive environment for the craft breweries.
Next up definitely is retail sales for breweries, on and off premise. Right now, breweries can give samples, provide free samples up to 36 ounces, and they can charge for tours, but they cannot sell beer in any form for consumption on premise or off premise. So that's something that's next up for the guild is to work on that and try to get some retail sales for the breweries.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, like I said, with Mississippi, you know, with such a good bit of it being rural, you know, I mean, as most southern states are, especially, I mean, a lot of y'all different breweries and stuff between, I mean, especially like Lazy Mag's a little bit off the beaten path and handful of the other folks too. So, I mean, I think that'd be, you know, great opportunity for people to be able to, you know, find them, especially in the certain communities and stuff like that, at least to be able to go in and have a pint or two here and there, you know. How's Lucky Town and everything been doing since they got it opened up in Jackson?
Lucky Town's doing good. They do tours on the weekend, and from what the times I've been and the pictures I see, they do big crowds every time they open, and that's a great thing. You know, it would be great if they could, you know, sell a six pack to go, you know, especially for the folks that, you know, the tourists, the travelers that, you know, swing off the interstate, go do a brewery tour, and you know, want to get back on the road and you know, head to where they're going. It'd be nice to send some beer with them rather than have to, you know, provide directions to a grocery store or something where they can buy this great beer they just tasted and they want to pick something with them. It'd be nice to sell stuff with them to go.
Yeah, that's something that, you know, we're getting, we're talking with Craig Hendry with Raise Your Pints, and he's one of the board members with the Mississippi Craft Brewers Guild also. It's one of those interesting things, you know. I don't think we ever thought about it as far as like craft brewers, the way everything is growing, that we'd ever find ourselves as being a spot that people are planning their vacations around. you know, and I've found that it's been, you know, especially in Nashville for us, it's the, I mean, especially during the summers and stuff, it's nothing to see, like on a day we're not open, to see like mom, dad, three kids show up, you know, yeah. Like, oh, y'all are closed, you know, and it's like, you know, even, you know, it's like the one thing that dad wants to do or whatever, you know, when people are traveling through, and is especially in Mississippi, as many people are going, you know, making that trip from New Orleans to Memphis, you know, going right up 55, you know, I think it's kind of a no brainer, you know, especially with it going right through the middle of the state, you know.
Yep, it's you know, it's great. That's one of the things we pushed over the last few years as far as getting the cap raised and homebrewing legalized. It's, you know, it's a huge tourism thing, and you know, Yalabusha shared Andy from Yalabusha shared a great story with me one time while they were still building the brewery. Somebody in Arkansas read about them on the internet and just got in a car and drove over and showed up and peeked in the window and wanted to see the brewery. Even before it was ready to go, you know, that's the kind of thing people, you know, people want to travel, or people will travel to see these breweries. Of course, they will spend money.
Yeah.
So, which is a great thing.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's, like I said, it just, it's one of those things where I know it's not perfect right now. And I think there's a compromise for everybody to be happy going forward. But I also know that, I mean, and it's something that you guys dealt with. I mean, how long ago was it that you, was it, it hasn't been more than 3 years since y'all legalized homebrewing, has it?
Homebrewing was 2013, so July will be 2 years.
All right, so that was 2013, folks. Just to give you a little about the landscape of Mississippi, was the y'all were the final state to legalize homebrewing, correct?
Well, it's up for debate, and it's kind of a playful who was last with us in Alabama. Our governor signed our bill first. And then their governor signed their bill, but their bill went into effect when he signed it versus ours went into effect in July. So, yeah, we can debate who was really last. And,
yeah.
You know, who wasn't.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Between Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, nobody really needs to be debating on who's last these days. Let's just say who was first. Let's just go with that one. Yeah, it's funny because I think it was 1980 when Jimmy Carter signed, made homebrewing legal nationwide, wasn't it?
Yeah, somewhere around right at that time.
Yeah, so you do the math, folks. That was from 1980 until 2013 that it finally got legalized in all 50 states. So, I mean, that's just something that's fundamental, and I mean, that you think about. So it's something that I try to explain to a lot of people that have never, I mean, been to the, you know, spent any time here in the South and the different dynamic of that we're working with in different states or even different geographic areas to each state that, you know, especially, and you probably see a lot too, man, is the broad sweeping statements that I hear from the talking heads and the craft brew world about this or that. And I'm like, look, man. Until you've been to Laurel, Mississippi, trying to sell a Pale Ale or IPA at Buffalo Wild Wings, I really don't want to hear it. You know, it's just, you know, it's, and that's the same thing. That's the awesome part about Mississippi and, you know, Alabama, Tennessee, and Kentucky. We're still going like city by city, county by county, account by account, where everybody else is like, oh yeah, it's one big market. I'm like, no, it's not, man. It's broken up into 30 different areas you got to work with.
Yeah, and Mississippi, you know, it's still about 40% dry county, so you got that to deal with, too.
Yeah, 40%. My goodness, man. That's pretty crazy. I think they're slowly but surely turning the tide on some of those, aren't they?
Yeah, they a couple years ago, they tweaked the dry law to where cities of a certain population and also, the county seat of dry counties could vote themselves wet. So We've had a nice little wave of towns that are taking the initiative, not waiting and relying on the county to go wet, you know, taking it upon themselves to go wet. So it's a slow thing, but it, they're coming around.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing, the dry county, because there's still a handful of places in Mississippi that the cities are wet, but the counties are dry, correct?
Yeah, there's several that are like that.
Yeah, I knew it was a big deal here in this last year. Oxford, Mississippi was like that. And here in this last year, they just made it where you could actually buy beer cold in Oxford. Before that, all packaged beer had to be sold warm. So you go into a big convenience store and they have all these doors and it's just all the warm shelves were all, you know, all beer. And you had to, you had to buy and just ice it down and everything. But they just made it where they could sell beer cold in Oxford.
So. Wow. There's like so many different stipulations. Like the little town Jessica went to college in, it was like, It went wet first by the drink. in restaurants.
Yeah.
Like you could go get a beer like at Applebee's or something like that.
Yeah.
But you couldn't, there was no, like, you couldn't buy it at a gas station or a liquor store or anything.
Yeah. That is interesting, man. I know Pennsylvania is a lot like that too. So, it's, Craig, when everything, the ones in Mississippi, when they're going wet, are they going wet with package or just bars and restaurants? Are they keeping it all the same thing?
Well, it's usually a vote either or sometimes a vote for both. I've seen that where they'll go into the polls and vote for two things, you know, liquor and beer. So they usually keep it separate.
It's still separated in Mississippi, right? Because the state still controls liquor and wine, and then beer is through distributors, correct?
Correct.
So wrap your head around that, folks. The state, Alabama and Mississippi both, and there's still a handful of other states like that too, they are in the alcohol business. They buy it from the distillers and wineries.
Yeah, Pennsylvania, I think, is one of them you were talking about.
Yeah, and they sell it directly to bars, restaurants, and retailers. So it's just so amazing when you think about it. Talk about a free market society. And
that's how it is in Canada.
Really?
Yeah.
Canada's like
that? Canada. They, I think, like, I guess, like, parishes, kind of, like, yeah. So you would, there's only, like, they'll buy from the brewer and then sell it.
Okay.
Like, you got, I think they're kind of, I think they may be able to sell as well.
Yeah.
We have a distributor called 2x4 Brewing that brings, Canadian craft beer in, and,
Oh, really?
So, yeah, it's one of, he brings about three or four different ones in from Canada.
Yeah. Craig, you got any festivals you're going to be hitting up this year outside of Mississippi? You making any trips anytime soon?
Well, let's see. Outside of course, we got Tupelo coming up. That's an exciting one. Outside of Mississippi, let's see. I know I'm going to San Diego in June for Homebrewers Conference, National Homebrewers Conference. I'm actually speaking out there too.
Oh, that's awesome. This year. What are you going to be speaking on?
Legislative affairs.
Yeah, no pressure with that one. I would like to just have a camera on everyone's face in the audience when you explain to them just the challenges and stuff that y'all had to deal with in Mississippi and just the back and forth in Mississippi that you've worked with in comparison to the utopian world that everyone explains that San Diego is when it comes to beer.
Yeah, I was went to a Beer Bloggers Conference in Portland, Oregon about 4 years ago, and I actually was a speaker there, gave a presentation on blogging and beer laws. And when I showed everybody there, you know, these are all beer writers, craft beer lovers, and a lot of industry reps. And when I showed them, hey, here's how bad we've got it in Mississippi. This is, of course, before the ABV law got raised.
Yeah.
Cap got raised. They were just floored and just, like, you know, a lot of people said, I will never complain about my beer laws again now that I've seen what Mississippi had at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, that was way before y'all legalized homebrewing, you know, in 2013. You know, it's quite significant of the difference.
What was the penalty for homebrewing on act like getting caught for brewing your own beer?
Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, here's the thing: it wasn't really illegal, but it wasn't legal either. So it was a huge gray area.
It's like one of those things, like if they found out you were doing it and wanted to get you on something else, they could bring that up as a charge. Like it.
Well, the closest thing, and I know of one guy that kind of got a visit, but he never got visited again. And I pretty much think it was because they didn't know what to do with it. Because once they confirmed it wasn't moonshine that he was dealing with, but there is one law in the books that obviously was written for moonshine, and it basically says something like, you know, make a intoxicating beverage, blah 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 blah, ingredients, malt. And that's the closest thing they could ever get you on. But, you know, it's still obvious, you know, there's a difference between making beer at home and making moonshine. So, you know, trying to avoid and distance, you know, ourselves from that. I think it's a case of nobody would ever know what to do or how to prosecute if, you know, they wanted to.
Yeah, well, I think the homebrewer show that they pitched for TLC got trumped by the moonshiner show. You know, I guess it's not as rebel as everybody would like. One interesting thing that I read about, it came out of probably about 6 months ago. Craig, did you see the article in the Clarion Ledger about the secret room in the Capitol in Jackson where they had it to, it was just there for accounting for collection of taxes on alcohol that was illegal?
I don't guess I did.
It was a really unique article, and just this guy's position and just the balls this guy had to be in his position. His job was during Prohibition and in wet counties or dry counties after Prohibition. His job was to go to all the illegal speakeasies and bootleggers and collect alcohol tax from them. And his job was to do that. And this room they had in the Capitol was for him to count down and account all the money that he collected from all these illegal bootleggers and speakeasy places. The whole time I was reading the article, I'm like, hey, I know you're illegal. All right. You're against the law, but I'm going to need, my 25% tax or whatever.
Yeah, it's mafia.
I thought it was just pretty interesting and just the different, stuff that, goes down over the years, that people really kind of don't understand that shit a lot of times. And it's the same thing we talk about with beer laws or alcohol laws in general. It's just like, that's just the way things have been. I mean, it's not like that anymore in Mississippi, but it was just kind of amusing. The article when I was reading about it was pretty neat, but, well, great, man. Are you going to be up in Tupelo for the festival?
I will.
Great. Are y'all going to do Beer City again this year for the parade in St. Pat's and Jackson?
Well, not. It's the same day as Tupelo, so
that's right.
To Tupelo.
Yeah, man. That's the day and age, man. That's the way it is. You got to make some really hard decisions on all the good stuff that's going on, man. And it's just, remember before it was only you had to plan around 4 weekends a year to actually do stuff, and now it's like every other weekend there's something really good going on you'd want to be doing, So,
yep.
Just kind of the nature of the beast and everything. Craig, where's everybody can follow along with what y'all have going on at Raise Your Pints, or just keep track of what stuff that's going on in Mississippi as far as legislation or any events and stuff like that? Is there a really good spot you can send everybody, your Twitter or website?
RaiseYourPints.com, and on Twitter, Raise Your Pints, and just search for us on Facebook, Raise Your Pints. You'll find us, and Twitter and Facebook are the best ways to follow what we're up to.
All right, man. I appreciate you calling in, Craig, and hope to see you soon and get a beer.
Thanks, Sam.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Take it easy.
Great. That was Craig Hendry from Raise Your Pints in Mississippi. Well, the founding groups kind of move the needle and start getting stuff rolling there. We're going to be winding down here. We got a few minutes left in the first hour of the Pork and Pale Ale radio show. It's at porkandpaleale.com, at Pork and Pale Ale on Twitter. Just signed up for the old Instagram, at Pork and Pale Ale on Instagram. And you're listening to us on Radio Free Nashville 107.1 or 103.7 WRFN. We have next hour, we have Phil Derner calling from Bluegrass Brewing up in Kentucky, going to update us on a pretty interesting bill they have right now on the floor of the legislature in Kentucky. After that, we have Dan Roberts calling in from Alabama. I want to play you this clip, and I know you've probably never heard this clip of this clip is from, let me see what year. Oh, this had 205,000 views. That's amazing. This clip is from July 30th of 2008. So that was, 7 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
This was a legislator in Alabama. His name's Alvin Holmes. And Alvin been in the legislature forever, and he's still there. Actually a beer drinker. I've actually talked to some of his staff over the years. But Alvin was talking about he was in opposition to them changing the law in Alabama to allow higher gravity beers and high alcohol beers into the state. At this point, the limit was set at 5% in the state of Alabama, and they wanted to keep it that way. And the limit in Alabama at that time for container size was nothing over 16 ounces. So this was in 2008 in the state of Alabama. It was illegal to homebrew, couldn't have any beer over 5%, and no container over 16 ounces. So, of course, growlers were out, so on and so forth.
Pints are out.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is to-go or retail. Yeah. So here's the this is from Representative Alvin Holmes. This is his exact transcript and recording from his opposition to the bill to free the hops in Alabama. So I'll read any catch he has on it before we get into the audio. But it starts out, just says, this past legislative session, the Alabama House of Representatives, it wasn't this past session, it was in 2008. So here's the audio. Enjoy, and we'll be right back. I said a bill allowed to sell a gourmet bill. Just listen to Alvin Holmes, is what it says.
You recognize as Mr. Holmes of Montgomery.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
This is on.
I ain't never heard nobody complain about the beer we have. It drank pretty good. Budweiser. What's the name of some of them other beer? Budweiser and what is? Miller?
Pausing right here. He's asking one of his aides, one of the guys next to him, to name a few of the other beers. So that's the other voice you hear when he goes, what's the name of some of the other beers we have? So this is the legislator that was speaking in opposition to the Free the Hops in Alabama. So we'll continue with Representative Alvin Holmes here.
It drank pretty good, don't it? Mr. Jack, who asked you to sponsor this beer?
The Free the Hops Foundation.
Yo, what kind of foundation is that?
These are young people from I will use the term, from Germany that came in with Mercedes.
From Germany?
There you go, folks. That was just a little slice of Alvin Holmes and all the people apparently that came in, the Mercedes from Germany that wanted to.
Well, the thing is that Mercedes plant in Tuscaloosa. Yeah. So I think that's what he's talking about. He's like, came in with Mercedes from Germany. They had cars like Mercedes full of hops and barley. That's hilarious.
That's one of my favorite clips every time. And I actually had Alvin Holmes. Like I said, I've talked to some of his staff and everything over the years. And I'm like, oh, he's actually a beer drinker. He's actually a really, really good guy. So let's see. I am going to continue on this year of not playing listening to any music unless I know who plays it personally. And I know them personally, whoever played it or wrote it. So there's actually a song by a group that I heard, went and saw them at City Winery this last week, and they just had an album come out. It's really, really good. The album art I'm not a fan of, but the music on it is phenomenal. And it's a couple of guys from upstate New York called the Gibson Brothers. So enjoy, and we'll be back for the second hour.
Falls all around, and it's almost got me down. Well, I guess when it rains, it pours. I'm dying for someone to live for. There's a whippoorwill out on a limb, but I don't know who he's crying for. I'm dying for someone to live for, and the weeping willow cries every time a good love says goodbye. I hear the tide coming in on the shore. I hear the tide coming in on the shore.